that.
Okay, and I want you two just to feel free now to jump in and chat with each other, so I'm going to let you guys go for now.
Go ahead,
Michael. Well, first of all, you have not mentioned a word about well-documented depletion, which is now occurring in 18 of the 25 largest oil-producing countries in the world. North Sea production is declining at a rate of 10% a year. Norway is in decline. Indonesia, a founding member of OPEC, is now becoming a net oil importer. The government there just recently had to remove subsidies that it was paying for because it couldn't afford them with oil prices as what they are. And gasoline went up 85% overnight, and kerosene, what Indonesians use to cook with, went up 168% overnight. That's an oil-producing country.
You want to stop with that much, Michael, so I can respond to it?
Well, let me finish with my points here. You mentioned Mexico's Cantarell. That's one of the three or four largest fields ever discovered on the planet. The Mexican government announced that Cantarell was in decline last year. You quoted Matthew Simmons, who has done some, I think, some excellent work. On page 77 of your book, you quote Matthew Simmons as saying that there are 600 trillion barrels of oil on the planet. Matthew Simmons has never said that. I've spoken to him. Nobody has ever argued there was more of a conventional endowment of oil on the planet than 2 trillion barrels. And you've got him saying 600 trillion?
It's probably a typographical error. It's first edition, and there are some in that book.
Was it a typographical error on page 135 when you wrote that water molecules contain one hydrogen atom bound with two oxygen atoms? It's the other way around. Water is two hydrogen atoms and one oxygen atom. You got that one wrong. On page 144, you list Ecuador as being in Central America. You know, that kind of research is not going to add to your credibility much. And when you talk about it,
Iran, where would you like to put Ecuador, Michael? Where would you like to put Ecuador?
Ecuador's in South America. It's on the equator. That's where it got its name. It's south of Colombia in South America, not Central America, where you put it.
Okay. Now, you've pointed out some nitpicking issues, and I would like all those. We'll correct the next edition on any of those points. The point about depletion, it's kind of like saying, yes, you can take all the water out of your swimming pool, but it doesn't mean all the swimming pools are out of water. A well will deplete. Also, even as you've pointed out, Michael, many wells that are drilled are only drilled 30 to 50%. There's a lot of oil even left in those wells. Secondly, depletion statistics, even with Saudi Arabia, Matt Simmons, the Saudis disagree with Matt Simmons' analysis. They're continuing to do increasing production, despite the fact that Matt Simmons says they're in decline.
No, they are not, and that's not what he says either. You got to quote him accurately if you're going to quote him.
Well, twilight in the desert, the coming Saudi oil shock, I'm holding it in my hand.
He said coming. He didn't say they were in decline now. He said they're on the brink of decline, and they may not be able to increase production above 10 million barrels a day to 12, which is what they're claiming, and they haven't reached 12 yet.
Well, they're very close to it, and they say they're going to 15, and they have increased above 10, which he said was their maximum amount they could produce.
People lie about reserves. People lie all the time, especially Saudi. I wouldn't trust the Saudi government.
They've exceeded the amount that Matt Simmons said was their maximum production. The Saudis already are above that. And my point is that the wells of the world, an individual well may deplete. Now, is Cantarell one well, or is it part of a complex system in the Gulf that is nowhere near depleting? That's what I'm maintaining. I'm maintaining that there are complex well systems deep within the earth that are seeping up, and they're nowhere near depletion.
Oil companies are in the business to make money. They've had 110 years and spent, I don't know, probably hundreds of millions of dollars on the science of geologic exploration to find oil. They go where they can make money. That's what Dick Cheney said to the London Petroleum Institute in 1999 when he said, hey, listen, we have this problem. When we use oil, we have to go find more, and that's getting harder to do. Why then, with all of this expertise and this 100 years of these enormous profits, would the oil companies not have developed something which would have made them more money? Instead, we see Ford on the edge of bankruptcy, GM teetering much closer to bankruptcy. We see 800,000 jobs lost this winter. We see threats of people freezing to death. We see Hugo Chavez of Venezuela offering low-cost oil to keep people warm in Boston. Where's the logic in this?
Michael, the oil companies last year made record profits. They made $100 billion. They're some of the largest profits ever made by any corporation ever in history were made by oil companies last year.
That's true.
Okay, so they're not losing money, and they're putting billions of dollars into oil and natural gas development because they know it's there.
No, they aren't.
Well, they are.
No, they are not. Chevron Texaco, if you go to its website right now, you'll see the Chevron Texaco website talking about peak oil, and they went into a large advertising campaign this year.
Well, the advertising campaigns are a different issue. BP says it's beyond petroleum. It's not. It's British Petroleum, and they're putting billions of dollars everywhere in the world. They're putting it into Nigeria. They are still putting it into the North Sea. They're putting it into Russia. They're putting it all over the world. They're putting it offshore in Brazil. BP has no intention of being beyond petroleum except in its advertising.
When you mention Russia, I'm looking at eight articles, and I'm willing to cite the date, time, and publication, whether it's a Russian news agency or BBC or whoever it is. Nine articles saying that Russia will be going over peak by 2010. They may not be able to increase production because they're running out of oil. How do you explain that in light of your reliance on some scientists, Kryushkin number one, who advocates abiotic oil, who has twice refused to show up for peer review? Now, you have a PhD. You understand that peer review is very important for science.
Michael, Russia is the second largest exporter of oil in the world, right behind Saudi Arabia.
That's true.
They actually are challenging Saudi Arabia to be the largest producer, and Saudi Arabia has not decreased production. There's no indication whatsoever, except maybe in a few articles you have, that are written by people who still believe M. Hubbard King's napkin drawing of a normal curve.
Now, hold it,
running
hold
out
it,
of
hold it. See, sorry, I'm going to sound like Ronald Reagan. There you go again. M. King Hubbard's, as you say in the book, thesis or work on the U.S. domestic oil peak was not back of the napkin. I have held a copy of the original monograph in my hand, and it was so full of calculations I couldn't even look at it.
That was the one he published after he did the napkin. Go look at DeFay's book in which he discusses the lunch at which the original drawing was done.
But here's the point. He was right. U.S. oil production peaked in 1970. It has domestic U.S. oil production has never exceeded what it was producing in 1970.
Domestic oil production in the United States peaked because we've quit exploring. Between the environmentalists and the desire to restrain supply, we have stopped going after oil that's abundantly available. How about Alaska?
Well, wait a minute. You have an economy that's collapsing. You have truckers that can't afford to buy diesel fuel for their trucks. You have airlines, several in bankruptcy, Chapter 11 right now because of fuel costs. And you're telling me this is because somebody doesn't want to go look for oil when it's an obvious benefit to the whole economy to have the oil?
I'm saying, Michael, that the oil companies like everybody believing it's peak oil, so they can charge more. The oil companies have not built a new refinery in 30 years in the United States.
I'd like to have
all the tax incentives taken away from the oil industry unless they increase supply.
Well, they can
increase supply. It's abundantly available. They're sitting on massive reserves of oil that they don't want to come off of until the price is higher.
By the way, I'm still here, guys. I'm listening, just so you know.
Okay. I want to go back to a point, though, about the origin of oil and something that Michael said earlier. I'm arguing that when you take a look at the basic structure of a biological material, which is heavily oxidated, that is not going to increase in energy to a higher molecular form of an advanced hydrocarbon if you bury it and wait a long period of time. I'm going to make the argument very simply. If you take 100 cats and bury them, in 1,000 years you dig them up, no matter how deep you bury them, you're not going to get any oil. Living tissue deteriorates into constituent chemicals. The processes to create advanced hydrocarbons, which are abundantly demonstrated in laboratories, are abiotic processes.